Motiversity family, it's Marcus Taylor, and I want to thank you for tuning in to the Motivation Daily Podcast by Motiversity, one of the top 50 podcasts in the world. If you enjoy listening to Motiversity and this podcast, you need to download the Mindset Daily Motivation app. On it, you'll gain access to thousands of motivational speeches, including Motiversity's and mine. And now, with the new Mindset Alarm feature, you can start each day with purpose, waking up to powerful audios like this one.
You may be average, you may be ordinary, but you have the opportunity every single day to make extraordinary decisions. And what you do today will determine your future.
To download Mindset, just go to mindsetapp.com or search for Mindset Daily Motivation on the Apple or Google Play Store and listen to motivational speeches while getting ready for the day. Click the link to download Mindset now and get ready to transform your life.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Sleep Number Smart Beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 40% on the Sleep Number Limited Edition smart bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at Sleep Number stores or sleepnumber.com.
Winning is an everyday mindset, and we're here to help. I'm Craig Robinson. Join me and Coach John Calipari for Ways to Win. We're kicking off during March Madness. Cal's Kentucky Wildcats are in the hunt. So throughout the tournament, I'm going to call up my friend to ask about his wins, losses, and especially what he's telling his players in the locker room.
You got to win every day.
Find the Ways to Win podcast anywhere you listen.
What will sometimes haunt my dreams still is just like a general feeling of morose anxiety.
Everyone experiences a version of anxiety or worry in their lives.
I don't know why I opened up and talked about it, but I guess I was just sick and tired of just having it inside of me for 20 plus years, and I was ready to make a change.
What helped me the most that I want to impress upon all of you is that I realize that part of my identity is saying no to things I don't want to do. And you are all in school and you all have a lot of teachers and a lot of people around you that tell you all day what you have to do, but it is your right to choose what you do and don't do. It is your right to choose what you believe in and what you don't believe in. It is your right to curate your life and your own perspective.
There's nothing wrong with you. To be a sensitive person that cares a lot, that takes things in a deep way, is actually part of what makes you amazing.
We all go through dark times. We all have obstacles in the way. We all have days and weeks where just everything, one thing after the other, just keeps going wrong. You keep getting knocked down. You keep getting knocked on your ass. Setbacks. Things go wrong. Things don't work out. This is just life.
I know you're going through some hard times. I know life at times might feel rough, or you might feel weird, or things might be frustrating, but it's not going to always be like this. Your condition is not your conclusion.
You just keep pushing through. If you keep getting back up, if you keep going, you're going to get through it. There is always, always light at the end of the tunnel. You've got to believe that.
You have the power to make it better. You see, nothing changes unless something changes.
My mom would be at all my sporting events. Let's say I was playing football, okay? My mother would be on the sidelines, and if the play on the field started going one way, my mother would run along like, "Mike, get him, get him!" I'd be like, "Oh my gosh." I'd get in the huddle with the other guys. They go, "Mark, is that your mother?" I go, "No, I never saw her before in my life." See, the greatest gift my mother ever gave me, she believed in me. I have overdosed on drugs on 3 occasions where I should have been dead. But I believe I was kept here for a reason. You show me your friends, I will show you your future. How do I know this? I hung out with losers and I became the biggest loser of them all because I gave up everything I dreamt about as a little boy because of who I chose to surround myself with. My friends would drive me home at 2, 3, 4 in the morning. We'd be drunk and high, laughing in the car. We pull up in front of my house in New York. They go, "Mark, Mark, the light's on." I go, "Oh man, my mother's up." See, my mom wouldn't go to bed until she knew her son was still alive. I'd walk in, she'd say, "Hi, Mark, how was your night?" I go, "It was good, Mom, I'm just gonna go to bed." She goes, can I talk to you for a minute?" I go, "Mom, I'm tired, I'm just gonna go to bed." She goes, "Mark, I haven't seen you all day and all night. Can I please talk to you?" I said, "Man, just leave me alone, you bug me." I'd slam my bedroom door on the one person who believed in me. I was on a worldwide tour and we were wrestling overseas in Japan. After my wrestling match, I went upstairs in my hotel room and I fell asleep. There was a knock at my door at 3 o'clock in the morning. I got out of bed and I looked through the safety window and I could see it was a Japanese promoter. So I opened the door and he said, "Mark, you need to call home. There's been an emergency." I went and got on the hotel room phone. I called back to the United States and said, "Hey, what's going on?" They said, "Mark, I don't know how to tell you this." I said, "Just tell me what happened." All of a sudden, I started crying. They go, "Mark, I can't tell you." I said, "Just say it." They said, "Mark, your mother died." I just threw the phone down. I ran out of my hotel room. I took the elevator to the lobby, and when the doors opened up, I just ran out into the street. I mean, there was no cars, there was no people. It's 3 o'clock in the morning. And I walked down the middle of a street in Hiroshima, Japan. And I remember looking up and just saying, "Mom, I am so sorry." I flew home for her funeral, and I was so nervous to walk up to her casket, so I just stood way in the back. And I kept looking from a distance. I kept thinking to myself, "Mom, please wake up. Please get up." And then I finally got the nerve to walk up to her. And as I got closer, I could see my mom for the first time. I mean, she was so beautiful. She was dressed in white. I mean, she looked like an angel. And I just stood over it. I said, "Mom, you are my hero. Everything I am, everything I hope to be was because of you. You loved me so much. You gave me a life. You're the only one that ever believed in me." How did I repay her? By getting drunk, by getting high, by getting stupid, by hanging out with losers? For what? All she ever wanted to do was talk to me. "I wish I could talk to you now, Mom. I wish you could see what I'm doing. Why couldn't I have been a better son?" We are defined by our choices. But if you surround yourself with people involved in drugs and alcohol and pills, it's a dead end. I'm not here to preach to you. I'm here to tell you I lived that life. It leads to broken hearts, broken relationships, broken dreams, and death. For what? To get high? If you have a mother or a father, when you go home, tell them how much you love them. See, my whole life was about being rich and famous. I had to be a millionaire. I had to win the race. I had to win the race at the expense of my marriage, my family, my friends. For what? To be all alone in the world? I learned what is truly important, and that is how precious this gift of life is and our families and how quickly it can be taken away. See, I no longer live in time. I live in moments. See, it's not what's in your pocket that matters. It's what's in your heart that truly matters. Love, Love is just a word until somebody comes along and gives it meaning. You're the meaning.
You've got to reevaluate and attack life again. And it's tough, it's hard. You know, it's like being knocked back almost. Even though you're successful, it's like being pushed back again.
Yeah, whether you win or you lose, the depression still sets in, right?
Yeah, yeah.
The number of teens, Gen Zers, 20-somethings suffering from depression and anxiety and loneliness. Loneliness is through the roof. This is one of the biggest issues that they're dealing with on college campuses. We rise to our maximum potential when we're of service to others. Going back to anxiety, going back to depression, going back to loneliness, I truly believe that's the answer. That's the way out of any kind of mental illness. It's like, I'm gonna make myself a better person, I'm gonna make the world a better place. And everything that I'm doing, I've got these two chariots, and I'm going down this road, or I'm going down this road, or I'm going down both together.
Been there a lot in my life, especially before my car accident, my teenage years, then the first woman I ever loved, we had a big breakup, and that breakup sent me down in depression and suicidal planning. And it's tough to dispense advice to people other than get help, and I'll share why. Because that time in my life, I had so many people coming up to me. You know, my friends would come into my dorm room, and Brendan, let's go do something. And you just, there's just, the hope is lost. And what people, I think, make the mistake of trying to do is hype people up. Everything's gonna be okay, you're gonna be great. And what people need who are suicidal is serious psychological intervention. They need to seek support and help. And outside of that, when they do get that support, the first thing a great therapist is going to do, outside of the emotional reflection work of why are you here and what has caused this sort of pattern for you, they're going to get you starting to get some momentum. The most important thing is when you are super down, outside of finding that emotional reasoning for where you are, is to start getting momentum. Because with momentum comes hope. With momentum comes motivation. With momentum comes that feeling that there's a reason for tomorrow. And so it's as simple as just saying, okay, what are three things I'm gonna do today? And I don't mean that like a lot of personal development guys would say, like, what are your three big goals for the day? Arr! I'm like, dude, sometimes that first goal is, I'm gonna shower today. I'm really gonna shower today. I'm gonna walk to the library. I'm gonna come home. And that's all they got. Like literally, that's all they got. And you gotta honor that struggle when you're in that place. Like know that where you're at, it is okay that you're there. And now you're gonna need help. And now you're gonna have to set up some daily practices just every day, win a little bit. Not like win your dreams, not like crush through goals, not like be a badass, not like, no, just momentum, man. You know, most of the guys I've dealt with in that position who were suicidal, outside of their therapeutic work, I said, the most important thing you can do is win the morning. I don't want to ever be flippant with the advice to people who are dealing with that situation outside of get some help, get some momentum, and be okay if that momentum is really small, because it will build. Trust that that momentum builds, and trust that those gloomy and bad, dark days, trust that those are going to be there. They'll get less and less and less as you learn how to cope, but they're gonna be there. And so when they're there, it's one of outside of teaching people to bring the joy in my life, I teach people to honor the struggle, honor the difficulty. When we honor the struggle instead of hate the struggle, we can really achieve extraordinary things because our mindset's in the right place. It accept, like, as soon as you honor the struggle, you accept that, oh, of course, there should be struggle here. I should honor this process. When you go to the gym to work out, you like honor that this is gonna be hard, and honor that process of getting better. And the more that you bring honor to it, the more your psyche builds with strength, and you get a little bit of that esteem back because you see yourself engaging something versus avoiding it and running away. You see yourself connecting with something and giving it reverence. Like I have reverence for the difficulties of life. They may be better. So I don't want a friction-free life. I'm not interested in it. You know, I like to say sometimes that, you know, the journey to greatness begins the moment that our, you know, deep desires for comfort and ease are overpowered by our desires to connect and contribute.
You know, when there are really hard times, there are so many tools that you can use to help yourself in those times, and it does get better and easier as life goes on and you start to get to know yourself more and what will trigger certain instances of anxiety and where you feel comfortable and safe. So I would just say, don't ever feel like you're a weirdo for it, because we're all weirdos.
My father left school in the third grade to help out on the family farm, but just because he left school doesn't mean his education stopped. Mark Twain once said, I've never allowed my schooling to get in the way of my education. My father taught himself how to read, taught himself how to write, decided in the midst of Jim Crowism, as America was breathing the last gasp of the Civil War, my father decided he was going to stand and be a man. Not a black man, not a brown man, not a white man, but a man. He literally challenged himself to be the best that he could all the days of his life. I have 4 degrees. My brother is a judge. We're not the smartest ones in our family. It's a third grade dropout daddy. A third grade dropout daddy who was quoting Michelangelo when he was a cook at Cal Maritime, saying to us, boys, I won't have a problem if you aim high and miss, but I'm gonna have a real issue if you aim low and hit. You see, it takes knowledge and wisdom combined to grow your influence so that you'll make an impact. You'll be a shipmate that others can count on. I learned that from a third grade drop. Simple lessons. Lessons like these. Son, don't judge people. The tendency of a person is to walk away from somebody that's different from them. You stay there and you get to know them. Never judge. Then he dropped Jonathan Swift on me, who said vision is the ability to see the invisible. Don't judge. Another lesson from this third grade dropout. Son, you'd rather be an hour early than a minute late. My father had the breakfast and lunch shift here at the academy. He had to be at work at 5 o'clock. We lived on Louisiana Street, 15 minutes away. My mother said for nearly 30 years, my father left the house at 3:45 in the morning. One day she asked him, why, Daddy? He said, maybe one of my boys will catch me in the act of excellence. I want to share 2 things with you. Aristotle said, you are what you repeatedly do. Therefore, excellence ought to be a habit, not an act. Don't ever forget that. The other thing I want to share with you is Harvard Business Review, September 2004. The article is titled Deep Smarts. Here's the thesis. Lecturing, what our universities are based upon, is the worst kind of teaching method. That if you want to get the intended message across, model the behavior. My daddy, a third grade dropout, a cook, was modeling excellence for his boys, combining academic knowledge and old school wisdom. That's what makes an impact. An impact, as you go all over the world, you're not interested in making a nice impression, you want to make an impact. Lesson number 3, son, make sure your servant's towel is bigger than your ego. I want to remind you, cadets, of something as you graduate. Ego is the anesthesia that deadens the pain of stupidity. Pride is the burden of a foolish person. You'll never be a great shipmate. You'll never be a great executive. You'll never be a great teammate if it's all about you. Let me take you back to 2 days before Trina died. No hair because of chemotherapy, cadets. A tummy pooched out because of a liver no longer working. She weighed about 75 pounds. I'm in the kitchen so I can keep an eye on her in the family room. She's surrounded by pillows. Our then youngest son, Andrew, walks up with a shirt that he wants mommy to fold. And this is what I hear from Trina. Andrew, mama, not always gonna be there to help you. She was saying goodbye. And I was so moved, I waited for Andrew to leave and I walked over and I sat next to her on the couch. And as clearly as I'm talking to you today, These were some of her last words to me. She looked me in the eye and she said, "It doesn't matter to me any longer how long I live. What matters to me most is how I live. Cadets, I've come here with honor, with bells on, to ask y'all one question, a question that I was asked all my life by a third grade dropout. How you living? How you living?" Every day, ask yourself that question, how you living? Here's what a cook in the dining center would suggest: that you would not judge, that you would show up early, that you'd be kind, that you'd make sure that that servant's towel is huge and used, that if you're gonna do something, you do it the right way. That cook would tell you this, that it's never wrong to do the right thing, that how you do anything is how you do everything. And in that way, you will grow your influence to make an impact. In that way, you will honor all those who have gone before you, who have invested in you, from teachers to grandparents to mom and dad. And when you combine that academic knowledge with that wisdom, oh my goodness, you will change the world. It is with great honor that I say all your life, look in those unlikeliest places for wisdom. Enhance your life every day by seeking that wisdom and asking yourself every night, how am I living? May God richly bless y'all. Thank you for having me here.
Think of anxiety just as a peculiar sensation, like when you have an itch. Mm. When you have an itch, you know, you scratch it if you can, and if you can't, you just like let the sensation pass. Try to do the same thing when you're feeling anxious. You know, mindfulness meditators talk about that. Okay, just let it come in. Don't resist it. You can just feel it, breathe through it. And if you don't allow it to like hijack you,
right,
it will just pass, like just another sensation.
What's on the other side of this? These are a lot of things that, you know, in my past, I used to struggle with a lot, letting my mind race and run. And truthfully, that for me is where anxiety lives. It's where anxiety is born. It's where anxiety begins to find itself taking a hold of me, of not taking control of what I can only control. I don't know what tomorrow holds. I don't know what's next. I don't quite understand the landscape of everything that's happening. But what I do have and what I do know and what I can control is right now. And seeing my life in the proper perspective. I always say perspective changes kind of our perception. And for me, the best way that I've been combating the anxieties, the unknowns, is being present in the moment. Being present with knowing how can I use this time to grow personally? How can I be better at dealing with certain areas in my life?
You know, everything was telling me just to give up. I was in a dark, dark place. I didn't know how I was going to do it. I didn't know how I was going to push through. I had great people around me, but more importantly, I just, in my own brain, which all of you have the ability to control, in my own brain, I told myself that I could do it, and I just kept pushing through. And actually became my biggest strength. My biggest weakness at the time became my biggest strength. It became my biggest driver. My biggest inspiration was that I managed to use that as a driver to drive me forward and get me to where I am today. If it wasn't for those times, if it wasn't for that I wouldn't be sitting here today, where I am today, with the people around me that I've got today. No way. So the dark times are always going to be there. But I promise, if you just keep pushing through, you're going to see the light.
So what if you change your narrative? What if you put your phone down and start living without worrying about what everyone else is doing? What if you stepped out of your comfort zone to meet new people in new circles? What if you studied half an hour longer each night to get into that program? What if I filled my heart with gratitude instead of filling my mind with worries? What if I stopped worrying so much about life and just started living it?
And I want you to say this over and over and over and over again until you believe it in your heart of hearts. I am enough. I am worthy. My life matters. I forgive myself. I can and will be happy. I can move on. I love me some me. And it's not over until I'm smiling and winning.
I was depressed. I was tired. I was struggling. I felt like I was an accident. Like, what's the purpose of life? Like, why am I here? You know, I felt like I couldn't fit in. When it was time to read, I didn't want to read because somebody was going to tease me because I wasn't a good reader. We was always getting in fights. People was bullying me. Then there was a time when I was the bully. Like, I just struggled. And I was like, what's the point of it all? And my mom's a great mom, so she moved me to another school. So now I'm at the school now called Huntsville High. This is my third school for the ninth grade. Now I'm at this new school, and I don't know how to explain it to you, but I got a group of teachers, I felt like they were weird. They were saying stuff like, Jeremy, we believe in you. I'm like, me? One teacher was like, oh yeah, Jeremy Anderson, up top my man, this is gonna be the best year ever. I'm like, okay. One teacher, I had to ask him, I was like, wait a second, y'all are way too enthusiastic. Did y'all get my transcripts? Like, y'all got the right Jeremy? They was like, yep, we got the right Jeremy, but you're in a new season now. So you don't have to worry about the past. I was like, yeah, but you do know about last year, yep. I said, you know, this is my third school. They was like, we're not worried about that again, Jeremy. You're in a new season now. So let's not bring old things into a new season. And they began to speak life to me. They began to encourage me. They began to affirm me. And because I was young and I was immature, I kind of felt like, well, you don't really understand my story. You don't come from where I come from. And I try to build a wall up. But you know what knocked that wall down? It's love. You know what knocked that wall down? It was perseverance. You know what knocked that wall down? It was like unwavering commitment and support. And I realized you can be black, white, purple, blue, green. We need each other. And if you're showing up because you believe in me and you see great things inside me, like maybe, just maybe I could do great things. Your mindset, your belief system is everything. And it is so powerful. And so I came all the way from Atlanta, Georgia to tell you, you were not a mistake. You were not an accident. You were here for a reason. I know you're going through some hard times. I know life at times might feel rough or you might feel weird or things might be frustrating, but it's not going to always be like this. Your condition is not your conclusion. There is so much more that's going to take place. There is so much more power that's inside you. If you make up in your mind, I choose to believe that I can do great things. And I promise you, my young friends, I got to a point in life when I was like, man, I got these teachers. They must really care. Like when you start having teachers that get diagnosed with cancer, but they still show up to school. One of my teachers had arthritis so bad, she couldn't even write on the chalkboard. Other teacher was going through a divorce. Another one that just buried her child. I'm looking at all these teachers that's going through life just like you, just like me, but they kept showing up. So something inside my brain said, maybe I am worth it. Something inside me said, maybe I can do great things. For them to jump through all these hoops and go out of their way to kind of connect with me, for them to make these sacrifices, maybe it is possible for me. It's the same way with you. Sometimes I go back to like being that little boy in the hallway that overheard that teacher tell my mom that I wasn't high school material. Then I have to remind myself like, no. That's not true. I am that. I can do that. I can achieve that. Sometimes I have to remind myself, what am I telling you? Like, life can be hard. Life can be rough, but there's something special. And there's something powerful about the human mind and about the human spirit and about the human will when you tell yourself, I won't give up. I won't surrender. I won't quit. I'm going to show up every single day and do the best that I can. And here's the beautiful thing about you is while you're going through your process and while you're trying to navigate these waters, and while you're still, you know, trying to tweak some stuff within yourself, you still got the power to save somebody else's life. You got the power to speak up for others. You got the power to be the voice of reason for someone who might be on the verge of doing something they shouldn't do. You have the power to brighten somebody's day. Your words are powerful. Your energy is powerful. And so I don't want you all to think that you have to have it all together and everything for you has to be perfect in order for you to be a leader. No. You can make an impact. You can make a difference. You can save somebody's life right now by you just being unapologetically you and you walking in that calling and you speak life and you affirm and you let others just know I see you and I'm with you and I got your back and you're not by yourself and I will hold your hand as you go throughout this journey. And even though I'm struggling, I don't mind fighting on behalf of you, and we're going to figure this thing out together. Key word, together. We're going to figure this thing out together. There's something beautiful about us having that mindset of us being together. You know what I'm saying? Not black, white, Asian, Hispanic, not Republican, Democrat, independent, not gay or straight, not like male or female, like us coming together saying, man, we are human, we are here. And I believe that there is more that makes us together. There is more than we have in common than we have that's not in common. And I believe that our differences is what makes us so doggone amazing. Our differences.
And I woke up in a hospital bed. The paramedics report, it said this. It said when they arrived on scene, that there was only one person in the vehicle, me. And that I hit the tree going anywhere from 60 to 63 miles an hour. There was no brakes. I didn't even try to stop.
And when I hit that tree, that case of beer bottles that was behind her catapulted forward at impact. And that woman named Priscilla, who didn't have her seatbelt on, catapulted forward at impact. And that thing called the windshield in your car. And that case of beer bottles met with Priscilla in between. And she slid down to the floorboard. And her neck rested on the middle console. So I stayed up all night that night. And you know what? The paper had read, two lifeline in a serious accident. Took her to Parkview Hospital. Nobody would tell me if she was alive, if she was dead. I had no idea, but I knew the paper said something that morning. And if she was alive or if she passed away, the paper would probably say something the next morning. The paper man shows up at like 4 a.m. He comes driving by. Everything slows down like a movie. He rolls the window and he throws the paper. It hits, boom. I jump up, grab it. I rip open the rubber band. I roll it open. And there's the headline. Crash victim dies. At 23, I was responsible for taking her life. Never did I think when I was in the 5th, 6th, 7th, 8th grade that at 23, I'd be responsible for taking the life of somebody. What happened, though, is the family wanted me to contact them right after that. And I called, and what do you say to that? You know, what do you say? I'm sorry. But I called, and the family said, Nathan, well, listen, Priscilla was sober. It was her vehicle. We can't put all the blame on you, which I didn't agree with. I was solely to blame. I was the driver. I don't care how drunk I was. It was my fault. But they said, listen, there's no reason for two families to be destroyed. We want you to know that we love you, even though we don't know you. We forgive you, even though we don't know you. But do us a favor. Just try to make the world a better place. Try to don't let Priscilla die for nothing. Just make a difference. What I do, my life speaks louder than words, because when I begin to change my life, I'm going to learn to make good choices. I'm going to learn to be responsible. I'm going to be dedicated. I'm going to have good characters and morals and values. I'm going to own up when wrong. I'm going to be truthful. I'm going to stand up for what I know is right, and I won't let anybody change me. And maybe that's not where you're at right now, but you can get there. And these are the attributes of success, man. If you want something in life, you gotta be willing to do what nobody else has done. If you keep doing the same thing you've always done, it's the definition of insanity. If you wanna change, you're gonna have to be willing to change. Good choices will always have good results. And I was making a lot of bad choices and a lot of bad decisions. And I was basing my value, my worth, off your opinions. And I learned something. Listen to me, everybody in here, I want you to understand something.
Your value is never based off any of the opinions of anybody in this room. Who cares what anybody thinks or says about you? They are not your merit system. They are not your system of worth. You are who you say you are by your actions. But the choices and the decisions that we make have consequences, good or bad. And when I went to prison, at 23, listen, I came from a broken family. I had been labeled and unmarked and identified. I had battled hurts and pains and wounds. I had suicidal thoughts and I had battled self-harming. Drugs and alcohol had consumed me. I had lost all dreams and goals. I felt like I had made too many mistakes to change. Listen, I felt like I had every reason to say, you know what, life is too tough and I quit. I live with these three principles, and I promise you, man, they will change everything about who you are. Hard work works, make good choices, good things happen, and value people. I decided 10 years ago, literally, when this all happened, and I went to prison, I was like, you know what? I want to make this promise. I want to keep it to this family. I come from a lot of brokenness. I don't know where to start, but what I do know is the importance of the choices that I make. And so literally, I wrote the word, change the world, and I slapped it on my little prison cell window, and every single day I woke up and I realized, make good choices, great things happen. Aim small, miss small. Make good choices, great things happen. You see, every choice that I can make, listen, I can't control what you think about me. I can't control your opinion of me. I can't control what you say about me, but I control how I react, respond, and what I do with my life. I'm in control of my life. I don't let external factors control me. I'm in control of my life. Because sometimes life can be tough. Life can be challenging. And sometimes the obstacles in front of you seem like they're too big and it's easier just to lay down. But you know what I remember? I remember when my dad used to look at me when the kid said, listen, Nathan, life is never going to give you anything. But if you make it and if you build it, nobody can take it from you. Because hard work and tenacity and refusing to quit and chasing your dream, you'll get there, I promise you. Maybe you don't hit the stars, but you land on the moon. You don't give up and you go after it and you stop caring about the opinions of people around you. Stop blaming everybody from your hurts. Take ownership of your life. Take off your mask. Don't feed the bear. Make good choices. Be a best friend. Encourage somebody. Be a voice of hope and inspiration. This is your moment.
Look, you never look good trying to make someone else look bad. I don't care what the circumstances are. You never look good trying to make somebody else look bad. And I'm telling you, people are going to try to do it. And especially if you shine, especially if you're handling your business, especially if you're successful, you become a target. You know, you got people who, unfortunately, they're not happy. They're not where they want to be. And so they're going to dog you out or try to bring you down because some kind of way it brings them satisfaction. Look, stay on your post. Just keep doing you. Don't come off A's to pay them no attention. Don't come off being no honor roll student to pay them no attention. Don't come off of you had dreams and goals. You trying to accomplish something, get something done. You trying to execute. You know what I'm saying? You try to make it happen in your life. You gonna get off your success. You're gonna get off your journey to pay them attention. Don't do that, all right?
I get tired of being associated with someone who is bullied because I don't allow that to happen anymore at all. I'm proud of kind of where I'm at now because the minute I see someone who tries to take advantage of me or isn't kind, I have the option to walk away now, which I didn't when I was a kid.
You know what's crazy to me? The fact that 7 out of 10 young people will have a cyberbullying experience before they turn 18 years old. Now, don't get me wrong, I'm all for the growth of technology, but the fact that cyberbullying allows the bully to be more aggressive and it can cause long-term effects in victims such as mental health and self-esteem problems is kind of concerning. If you or someone you know is being affected by cyberbullying in any way or any kind of bullying, really, please reach out to a trusted adult and try and solve the issue. Of course, if you're more comfortable with talking to someone over the phone or you're just too shy to reach out to somebody in your life, please try calling one of the following hotlines on screen or the ones in the description. And the biggest thing to remember is that mental health matters. We have to normalize asking for help and getting access to affordable mental health care and support. It's so important.
So there was a group in my church who was having like a get together going to a pool. And I was so incredibly excited because I loved to swim. It was like that place where I just felt total freedom, right? Especially in the water. And I was so excited to show off my skills because at the time it was like, I loved to perform. I loved to force everyone in my family to watch me like do dances and sing and all of that. I was that annoying kid in the family. And so went to the pool, was so excited about going off the diving board to show all of my friends what I could do. And my crush happened to be there, who I was obsessed with, along with these two other girls that were in my church. And they were super thin. And I remember looking at them again at such a young age and comparing my body to theirs and being like, why am I not thin like them? Why can't I just be thin like them? Because I knew the boys liked them as well. So I got up on the diving board. And I remember just hearing chanting, like all of a sudden hearing chanting from my friends. And I tuned in and I was like, oh my God, they're saying whale. They were yelling whale, whale, whale. And in that moment, it was just like totally deflated. That was the moment that I realized that words are so energetic without knowing that's what it meant. And it was like, it just slayed my heart. And I jumped into the water because there was nowhere else to go. And under the water, I was bawling, thinking, I'm not gonna come back up. I don't wanna come back up. This was my friends. Like, the only people that I had ever known are now basically criticizing me because of my body, and now I'm feeling that I'm just a body and that I'm useless if it's not the body I want. So there was a moment, though. It was like I remember sinking and sinking and feeling the bubbles and hearing that wail in your ears. Have you ever had those moments where you just hear your own pain? And there was this moment, and it was like, just wait. Just wait. It was like, I'm gonna show you. And that was it. It was like something went off in me that was, I will never feel this much pain again.
The truth of the matter is, whether you're growing up, you're a foreigner like I am in this country, and you're growing up against bigotry and hate and being broke and moving around from school to school and being bullied and picked on, and or you're an entrepreneur and you're trying to build your business, turn your idea into a dream and help people, you're gonna come across adversities, challenges, setbacks, and you gotta have a reason why. And most people who succeed ultimately have a strong reason why.
I tell a story about my daughter. She went to she transferred, I think it was her seventh, eighth grade, she transitioned to a predominantly a white school. So she went from a school that was very diverse, you know, to a predominantly. And I remember her first, you know, few weeks there was a tough transition. She didn't know anybody. You know, we had just moved into the neighborhood. And I remember, you know, she was just talking about some of the kids were racist. Some of the kids were making, you know, fun of her. You know, they wouldn't embrace her. And it was one kid, I don't remember the kid, but the kid had a little influence, B. He had a little juice, you know, and he said to, you know, whoever it was, like, yo, this ain't right. You know, we got to do right. And I remember my daughter coming home geeked up, like, I'm with the popular kids. I was like, whatever that means, you know, but it was a major moment for her. And then I remember maybe a few, you know, months later, a student came and was going through what she was going through. And I remember my daughter expressing it to me. I was like, yo, you know what you got to do, don't you? She's like, no, what? I'm like, come on, you know what you got to do. She's like, what, Dad? I was like, you have to be for that person what somebody else was for you. You got to be that bridge, baby girl. You got to be that bridge. You can't be that one, not only who's, you know, ostracizing them, you know, and making fun of them, right? You can't be the person who neutral either. You know what I'm saying? You can't be the person to just sit back and watch and don't say nothing. So you know how it felt for somebody to defend you, for somebody to vouch for you. You know what that felt like. You know that feeling. You know that was a major transition. And so do that for somebody else.
When you feel it, and maybe you're in the middle of it, And maybe it's uncomfortable, but when you feel that thing called depression, and when the collars are more bland and you don't want to get out of bed, you've got to roll out of bed, man, and you've got to make yourself go. Get out of the house. Go surround yourself with somebody. And I know you don't want to feel like it. I know you don't feel like it sometimes, man, but you got to. Don't, because if you don't, you isolate, you stay in your room, you start building all of these stories, and you start, what happens is here's a principle of life, man. What you focus on, what you think about is always going to grow. Whatever you put your time and your attention into is always going to grow. And so when you're looking in your room and you're isolating and you're looking in the mirror in your room and you're isolating yourself, what you think of is going to grow. And so when you isolate yourself and you're kind of building these stories about your struggles and your hurts and your pains and your past, it just gets bigger and bigger and bigger. And you wonder why it seems like it's this giant that you can't slay, or this monster or this demon that you can't get rid of, because you're always focusing on it.
I don't want to ever be flippant with the advice to people who are dealing with that situation outside of, get some help, get some momentum, and be okay if that momentum is really small, because it will build. Trust that that momentum builds, and trust that those gloomy and bad dark days, trust that those are going to be there. They'll get less and less and less as you learn how to cope, but they're going to be there. And so when they're there, it's one of outside of teaching people to bring the joy in my life, I teach people to honor the struggle. Honor the difficulty. When we honor the struggle instead of hate the struggle, we can really achieve extraordinary things, because our mindset's in the right place. It accept, like, as soon as you honor the struggle, you accept that, oh, of course, there should be struggle here. I should honor this process. When you go to the gym to work out, you like honor that this is going to be hard, and honor that process of getting better. And the more that you bring honor to it, the more your psyche builds with strength, and you get a little bit of that esteem back, because you see yourself engaging something versus avoiding it and running away. You see yourself connecting with something and giving it reverence. Like, I have reverence for the difficulties of life. They may be better. So I don't want a friction-free life. I'm not interested in it. You know, I like to say sometimes that, you know, the journey to greatness begins the moment that our, you know, deep desires for comfort and ease are overpowered by our desires to connect and contribute.
What was motivating that? Was it a positive feeling of, I have the sense that I can get better? Or was it like, this hurts so much, I just need something?
It was, that's a great question. So for me, what my analysis was very much about, I was just in denial for a long time about, like, I refused to accept that I was scared or lonely or sad. I mean, even intellectually I would, but emotionally I wouldn't connect with that, right? The difference between me now and me, let's say 10 years ago in this realm, is that now the emotions don't go away, right? So anyone who tells you that they have a way for you to control your emotions or get rid of your emotions is either lying to themselves or lying to you and trying to sell you something. So it's not that any of this goes away. It's that now I recognize it. Like I recognize the feeling, I accept that it's there, and I can, like, not let it overwhelm me or let it control me without understanding. For most people, the only way you can get past this stuff is to bring it out, let it have its voice.
Some of you know exactly what I'm talking about, but here's what I've learned. Now these days, anytime that I feel that inkling of a thought of depression and that thing trying to wrap its way around me to hold me hostage and to paralyze it, I've learned to punch it in the face, man. And what I mean by that, every time I begin to feel it, I'm the first one that's gonna get on my phone, I'm gonna call my friends and say, hey man, I gotta get out of the house, I need to go do something. I don't let depression wrap around me and tie me up. Anytime I feel it, and even though I don't want to sometimes, and even though it takes everything in my power to hit the send button and to talk to somebody and to say I'm struggling, I refuse to stay in my room and let my mind war against me. You've got to be willing, man.